Today's scripture reading is Psalm 120. I call on the Lord in my distress, and he answers me. Save me, Lord, from lying lips and from deceitful tongues. What will he do to you, and what more besides, you deceitful tongue? He will punish you with a warrior's sharp arrows, with burning coals of the broom bush. Woe to me that I dwell in Meshech, that I live among the tents of Kedar. Too long have I lived among those who hate peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. This is the word of the Lord.
We bless you, Lord, O our souls. We worship in the beauty of your holiness. We thank you for these words that you've given to us, the words of Psalm 120. So as we look at these words right now, Lord, we pray that you would open blind eyes, that you would open deaf ears, that you would melt stubborn hearts down. We pray that we will truly understand what it means to cry out to you in distress. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, our Lord, Redeemer, and God. And the people say it. Yes. Amen. Yes. Yes. Amen. Please. It was in April of this year that Pastor Ian and I were roommates in a pastor's retreat in Punta Cana and the Dominican Republic. Ian survived being my roommate, and I survived being his roommate. Both of our church leadership teams had agreed that Glenbrook would join us for these 6 Sunday mornings in the summer while you're doing renovations on your sanctuary. And we were wondering what we would use biblically for the joint Sunday service in the summer. So I proposed to Pastor Ian that we read the Psalms, the middle book of the Old Testament. And the Psalms have always been a very important feature in my life. And frankly, I just want to say that many times in my prayer life, I've run out of words to say before God. And then I read a psalm. And then when I read a psalm, somehow that particular psalm puts words in my mouth before God. So therefore, every morning, I try to make it a practice these days to read a psalm in prayer. We decided to use the Psalms of Psalms 120 to 134. Pick up, in the end, we were picking up 5 Psalms of this particular lot of Psalms. Psalms 120 to 134 are called the Songs of Ascents. Why? Why are they called the Songs of Ascents? They are sung when Israel is in exile in Babylon, and the people of Israel make pilgrimages back to Jerusalem for the celebration of festivals. You know of the story of Daniel 1, where in 586 BC, King Nebuchadnezzar conquers Jerusalem and burns down Solomon's temple. Daniel's generation is taken to Babylon as slaves. And as time goes on, Cyrus, the king of Persia, conquers Nebuchadnezzar and allows the people of Israel to return home to Jerusalem to celebrate their festivals. And so Psalms 120 to 134, the songs of ascents, are sung by the pilgrims as they return to Jerusalem. And they are called the songs of ascents because the people feel that as they go to Jerusalem, they are going up to the presence of God in Jerusalem. They are ascending up to the presence of God in Jerusalem. King David conquered Mount Zion and renamed it Jerusalem. And Solomon, his son, then got to build his temple on Mount Zion. Therefore, for Israel to return to Jerusalem is to go up into the presence of God at Mount Zion. So this psalm, Psalm 120 kicks off the songs of ascents. And like any normal psalm, this songwriter, and the word psalm actually means song, this songwriter laments two things. Remember, this songwriter is away in exile, far away from Jerusalem. And there are two things that this songwriter grieves about: the lies and the violence. So first of all, he prays for salvation from lying lips and deceitful tongues. Save me, Lord, from lying lips and from deceitful tongues. What will he do to you, and what more besides, you deceitful tongue? He will punish you with warriors' sharp arrows, with burning coals of broom bush. And so here is something that we find very often in the psalm: a lamenting portion of prayer, a grieving portion of prayer. And in this grieving, the songwriter prays for profound justice. He prays that those who lie, first of all, he prays that he be saved from lying lips and deceitful tongues. And secondly, he prays that those who lie get what they deserve: warriors' sharp arrows and burning coals thrown at them. So I want to say that this is part of the lamenting process that we can learn from the Psalms. Because as we go on through life, people hurt us. And when people hurt us, how do we respond in prayer? And I believe that we should respond in the ways the Psalms teach us. And when we pray before God, God brings us to the very core of our hurts. And so when we pray this prayer, like he will punish you with warrior sharp arrows and with burning coals of broom bush, I just want to make it clear that the main objective is not revenge. I don't believe we should seek revenge when we pray. However, as we think of the struggles that we are going through life because of the evil deeds of other people, I believe that we should acknowledge those hurts profoundly before God and cry out to him for justice. And that's what the Psalms teach us to pray. And Psalm 20, 3 to 4 is no different. So something about the lies that we hear today. In 2017, National Geographic magazine released an article called Why We Lie. And I'm just going to read out parts of this article. In the fall of 1989, Princeton University welcomed into its freshman class a young man called Alexei Santana, whose life story the admissions committee found extraordinarily compelling. He had barely received any formal schooling. He had spent his adolescence almost entirely on his own, living outdoors in Utah, where he herded cattle, raised sheep, and read philosophy. Running in a Mojave desert, he trained himself to be a distance runner. Santana quickly became something of a star on campus. There was just one problem. Santana's story about his life was a lie. Princeton officials eventually learned that he was actually James Hogue, a 31-year-old who had served a prison sentence in Utah for possession of stolen goods and bike parts. He was taken away from Princeton in handcuffs. And this is what the author of that National Geographic magazine article says. Lying, it turns out, is something that most of us are very adept at. We lie with ease in ways big and small to strangers, co-workers, friends, and loved ones. Our capacity for dishonesty is as fundamental to us as our need to trust others, which ironically makes us terrible at detecting lies. Being deceitful is woven into our very fabric. So this is the reality of life we live in today. We live in a time where lying is regarded as normal and even applauded. And the prevalent message we hear is that you can lie, get away with it, and prosper. So how much more the prayers of this psalmist today speak to us? Save me, Lord, from the lying lips and the deceitful tongues. Besides the lies, there is something else that troubles the songwriter. Woe to me that I dwell in Meshech, that I live among the tents of Kedah. Too long have I lived among those who hate peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. So whether in Meshech in Turkey today or in Kedah in the Arabian Peninsula, which are two spots that are very far away from Jerusalem, the songwriter is far away from his home in Jerusalem. And the songwriter lives with people who are at war. They hate peace. And when the songwriter tries to introduce the peace, the shalom of God into the situation, they shout him down for attempting to introduce the shalom, the peace of Yahweh, of God, into the situation. And this has happened for such a long time. So this psalm is so relevant because we not only live in a lying world, but we also live in a, what I call, a noisy and violent world. We are for peace. And when the psalmist says, I am for peace, I believe that he is referring to the peace of God, the shalom of Yahweh in that situation. And he wants to practice the shalom of Yahweh, the peace of God in his life. But he struggles. He struggles because there's so much lying and there's so much violence around him. Hence, the importance of this series we are starting today. Pastor Ian and I were far away from home in Punta Cana when we thought this through. And I proposed to him that we do this series on Psalms 120 to 134, the Songs of Ascents. And we acknowledge that for most of this 6 weeks, Glenbrook Church will be experiencing worship far away from their home, because of the renovations happening in your sanctuary right now. And throughout the summer, some of us will be traveling on a journey to vacation spots. So I said to Ian, why don't we call this series on the Songs of Ascent, Psalms for the Journey? Because we felt that while the two churches are together on Sunday mornings, maybe we can learn to pray like the pilgrims from the exile as they traveled to Jerusalem. And I truly pray that in the next 6 weeks, I pray that we learn how to pray like Israel in the exile. And we are all on this journey together to our Jerusalem. And for all of us, there's this particular Jerusalem that we are waiting for. At the end of time, when Jesus comes again, in Revelation chapter 21, verse 2, there is this picture of the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And we are all waiting and praying for that day. So back to the book of Psalms. All 150 Psalms were put together while Israel was in exile. And when they were putting the Songs of Ascents together as Psalms 120 to 134, they decided to start this section with this present Psalm 120. And so this is how the Songs of Ascents start. I call on the Lord in my distress, and he answers me. Save me, Lord, from lying lips and from deceitful tongues. And that's how I feel the psalmist prayed that prayer. I called on the Lord in my distress, and he answers me. The Songs of Ascent teach us one truth that Israel fails to understand before the exile. Israel thinks that God can be centralized in one spot, in the most holy place in Solomon's temple. Israel is wrong. Nebuchadnezzar comes and conquers Israel. He burns the temple down to the ground. And God is doing something profound with Israel at this point. God is teaching Israel that he is not centralized in one spot. Whether in Meshach, whether in Keba, whether in Jerusalem, Israel can call on the Lord in their distress. Because whether they are in Meshach, whether they are in Keba, or whether they are in Jerusalem, God hears their cries. God sees their distress. And God answers their cries. And God is teaching Israel. And he's saying to Israel, I cannot be contained in Jerusalem or in a temple. Because like all human beings, you Israel, you are trying to contain me in a box, in a temple in Jerusalem. I cannot be contained in a box. God is spirit. This means that God is present in all his creation. This means that God is available wherever Israel is at. God is the God of Israel, whether Israel is in Jerusalem, whether Israel is in Babylon, whether Israel is in Meshach, whether Israel is in Keba. God is connected with each of you. Whether you are in Jerusalem, whether you are in Meshach, whether you are in Keba, or whether you are in Babylon. Save me, Lord, from lying lips and from deceitful tongues. God knows that they are in Meshach. God knows that they are in Keba. God knows about the lying lips and the deceitful tongues. God knows that Israel is for peace while others are for war. So eventually, Cyrus the Persian king conquers Babylon. And he allows Israel to return to Jerusalem for their festivals. And by that time, Israel is scattered all over the Mediterranean. God is saving Israel from the lying lips and the deceitful tongues. But not in the way Israel wants God to do it. God does not want to be contained in a temple in Jerusalem. God does not want to be contained in the box. And more profoundly, God is transitioning Israel. God is transitioning Israel from one major king in the Old Testament, King David, to the King of Kings, to the Messiah, to the promised King of the New Testament. God becomes a human being and experiences the lies and the violence that we as human beings suffer. And it is through Jesus, through this new King of Kings, God understands our struggles from the lying lips and the deceitful tongues and from the violence, and he saves us. When I suggested to Pastor Ian that we study Psalms 120 to 134, I had in my mind this book by Eugene Peterson. It's a book on the Songs of Ascent, and it's called A Long Obedience in the Same Direction, Discipleship in an Instant Society. And Eugene Peterson taught me how to pray the Psalms through this book. And through this book, I get this idea that the Psalms tell us that life is tough. There are lies. There is war. But God hears our cries, wherever we are at, whether in Jerusalem, whether in Babylon, whether in Meshach, or whether in Keba. And God does answer our prayers. But he cannot be contained in our boxes. And we should not try to contain God in our boxes. So this is how Eugene Peterson talks about God in Psalm 120. The single word God or the Lord occurs only twice in this psalm. but it is the clue to the whole. God, once admitted to the consciousness, fills the entire horizon. God, revealed in his creative and redemptive work, exposes all lies. The moment the word God is uttered, the world's towering falsehood is exposed. We see the truth. The truth about me is that God made and loves me. The truth about those sitting beside me is that God made them and loves them. And each one is therefore my neighbor. The truth about the world is that God rules and provides for it. The truth about what is wrong with the world is that I and the neighbor sitting beside me have sinned in refusing to let God be for us, over us, and in us. The truth about what is at the center of our lives and of history is that Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross for our sins and raised from the tomb for our salvation, and that we can participate in new life as we believe in him, accept his mercy, respond to his love, attend to his commands. And he captures the God-centeredness of our prayers. So in closing right now, I'm going to propose that we read together Psalm 120. Shall we rise and read together Psalm 120? I call on the Lord in my distress, and he answers me. Save me, Lord, from lying lips and from deceitful tongues. What will he do to you, and what more besides, you deceitful tongue? He will punish you with a warrior's sharp arrows, with burning coals of a broom bush. Woe to me that I dwell in Meshech, that I live among the tents of Kedah. Too long have I lived among those who hate peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. And so, Father, we present ourselves to you this morning in the reality of this psalm. We live in a lying and violent world. And so our prayer to you this morning is, Lord, save us from lying lips and from deceitful tongues. And help us be for peace. The peace of God, when all around us people are for war, violence, and noise. Let the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, permeate us. In Jesus' name do we pray, and the people said, Amen.